Praise the Lord. What amazes me is the consistency of fellowship, friendship, and worship that we sense every time we come here. You have no idea how refreshing it is to hear the saints of God worship the Lord. And I know that there are people who get a little unnerved by the volume. Why does it have to be so loud in church? Well, if you've made plans to go to heaven, change them if the volume bothers you. And don't go there, because heaven is a noisy place. If you don't believe me, read the book of Revelation, and you will see heaven is a very noisy place. But I'll tell you one thing, it is important that we learn and maintain and keep the freedom of praise, adoration, and worship. If there's anything that alleviates the soul of burdens, it's praise. If there's anything that pleases God, it's worship and adoration. And it's what helps ushering in the sense of God's great presence, because he inhabits the praises of his people. This past Tuesday, my wife and I celebrated 44 years since we got engaged. And she's been happy ever since. Been happy ever since. I was thinking of my friend Gabriel this morning as I was coming to church. I said, Lord, will I have the joy of seeing this young man? And when we greeted one another and I saw him, I said, I can go to heaven now. He said, no, not yet. So I want to take that as we got work to do together. Yeah, we have quite a few trips this year, so please keep us in prayer between Europe, back to Italy, Poland, South America a couple of times, and only the Lord knows where elsewhere and in and around the States. And I thank God for his grace. Did you ever miss the forest because of the trees? Did you ever miss God because of your problems? Silence. Absolute silence. Do you know that I have yet to meet a Christian who hasn't wondered, God, where in the world are you? We've all been there. Every single one of us, on one plane or another, we have had a moment in time where we have wondered, God, did you forget me? Did you skip out on me? Where are you? I've read some great stories of great men and women of God. Recently read through again the life of Hudson Taylor, the founder of the China Inland Mission. If you've never read the biography of this man, I would strongly suggest get a copy of The Spiritual Secrets of Hudson Taylor, a man of faith, a man of God, who once wondered where God was, where God was. When I read that, I was encouraged, not because he wondered where God was, but I said, wait a minute, he and I are cut from the same cloth. And God, does not the Bible say God knows that we are what? Dust. He remembers that. He doesn't forget that we are frail. And from time to time, tend to slip up. But you know what helps bring us back? Three basic things: prayer, the Word of God, and worship. Brings us back to reality. When we begin to praise and worship, well, the attention, the focus is taken off of us and brings it right back to God. When we immerse ourselves in the Word of God, and then that combined with prayer, we're brought back to the reality, God is here. I want you to turn with me this morning, please, to the book of Exodus, a story that is well known and many times is repeated around this time of the year, especially amongst the Jewish people when it comes time of the Passover, the time when God had ordained just before the liberation of the Israelites from 400 years of slavery in Egypt. They were to kill a lamb and then put the blood over the doorpost and the dintel, and then the angel of death was going to pass over the houses where that sign of blood was. And then the following day, they were going to leave Egypt in a great celebratory fashion because 400 years of suffering and brutal treatment had come to an end. But there is something interesting I'd like to call your attention to in chapter 13 of the book of Exodus, and we'll begin reading around verse 17. You can read the entire story when you get home today, but I just want to start here. Verse 17 of chapter 13 of the book of Exodus. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country that was shorter. Shorter for what? To get them to where he wanted them to go, the promised land. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. Just let me interject something here. Do you see how God is involved in the affairs of mankind? And that nothing happens by chance, but rather by divine ordination? When we don't understand things, it means nothing. Only that we don't understand them. Don't complicate life. When you don't understand something, don't get bent out of shape. Just go on with God. God led the children of Israel on a longer road instead of the shorter road. And his reasoning was, I don't want them to get discouraged in case they face a battle. Then they'll want to go back to Egypt. Keep this in mind. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Even though God didn't want them to face battles, which they would later on, they were ready for it anyway. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, now listen to this, and don't forget it. God will surely come to your aid. And then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. God was going to come to Israel's aid where? When? In Egypt. In Egypt. In the midst of their suffering, because he said, then when God comes to your aid, then take up my bones and let's all leave together. After leaving Succoth, here's where I want to come to now. They camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Let's go back a minute. The Bible says, by day the Lord went ahead of them. The Lord went ahead of them. Not only did he open the gates of Egypt so the people could be set free, But the Lord went ahead of them. The form that God took, or that he manifested his presence at this point in time, was in a pillar of cloud, so that as they saw the cloud in front of them, they knew, at least they should have remembered, that's the Lord who is with us. And then in the evening, when the sun set and night came on them, there was a fire, the column of fire, behind them. And who was there? The Lord. Because it was God in front of them, God behind them, as a sign, I'm with you. God never encourages us, leads us, or guides us anywheres or into anything, but that he does not go with us. I remember growing up as a kid, I was as rebellious as they made them. I would make Gabriel look like Gabriel the angel. And many times, the people from the church who knew me would say, when you go there, you don't think God goes in there with you. He waits on the outside till you come out. And like a jerk, I believed that because I never read my Bible. I didn't bother listening to the pastor when he preached. I just went by what people said. And finally, somebody made me understand what kind of God is that he goes in and out of you until you get your act straight. If you go there where you don't go, where you don't belong, and you claim that he is in you, he's in you even in there, trying to prick your conscience and make you understand you don't belong there. So then I would go and do those things more encouraged because, hey, God is with me now. Nah. By day, they knew God was with them. And when they lay their head down at night to sleep, they knew God was with them. So why worry? Just be happy. Don't worry. Maybe this is where the phrase, got your back covered, came into being, because God had their back covered. What did the psalmist David say when he wrote Psalm 23? Even though I walk through the valley of what? The shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Well, David was this tough warrior. Is that why he didn't fear evil? No. I fear no evil because you're with me. Your rod and your staff. Now, let's go back a minute. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Do you know something about shadows? You can't have a shadow unless you have light someplace. The other night, it was about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. We had this great sleepover at the house. Three of the grandchildren were there, and they had run and played and all that. And I usually get up at all hours of the night. And I walked towards the kitchen, and my wife had put a little night light in the hallway in case one of the kids got up and had to go to the restroom. There was a night light on in their room, a night light on in the bathroom, a night light on in the hallway. I said, ComEd is going to be so happy. So happy. And as I walked towards the living room, dining room area, I looked towards the ceiling and I see this monster of a figure. I wasn't dreaming. It was me. What happened was I walked in front of that little light and this little diode, it wasn't a bulb, it's these little diode, is that what they are, Bobby? A little dielectronic thing. Cast this light behind me, and up on the ceiling there's this shadow. And I went like this, and it looked like it was going to engulf me. It was nothing more than a shadow. I could have boxed all night long and won. And David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it looks bigger than what it really is. But that's because there's light somewhere shining. And the Lord was letting these people know, I'm bringing you out, but I'm not dumping you. I'm going to carry you through, and I will prove it, because by day, every time you see that cloud, that's me. At night, every time you see that pillar of fire, that's me. Who would fear or doubt or worry after that? People like you and me. Did not God say in the book of Hebrews, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He is the only one who could say never and mean it and keep his word. I will never. I've had people say, I'll never forget you. Ah, yeah, all right. I always pray. The only one who I ever believed who always prayed for you when she said she did was my mother. Because she had this list, her arm long, and every day, your name. I got so sick and tired of hearing your names. Forget the names. All you people owe me the money she sent you over the years. She would never let me mail her letters because she knew I would open it up and take the money out. All stole her money. Gabriel, we got to do something about it. Get that money back. Well, when she said, I pray for you, she meant it. Do you know who I believe even more than my mother? I believe God. Because Jesus is now at the right hand of the Father interceding. For whom? You. For me. He does not forget. But why is it that there are times when difficulties arise, we seemingly forget, even momentarily, that God is there? We get tied up in a wad because the problem, so it seems, becomes bigger than the God we claim we believe in. And we allow the difficulty to, as if it were, cause us to drown in a thimble full of water. Now, you know that that's impossible to do, but yet there are people who seem to drown in a thimble full of water because all of a sudden they allow the problem to cast a shadow much larger than what it is. The other day, we had gone up to upstate New York to Utica, where our son-in-law, Ed, Karen's husband, was in a deployment ceremony on his way to Kuwait. And it was sad, of the mothers and the wives and the children, those who understood, and the parents weeping because for a whole year they weren't going to see their family member. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. Karen was emotional. I got emotional. And Sophie was emotional. And Karen, the only one who wasn't emotional, was the solid rock of the family, my wife. The only time she gets emotional is when she sees me. Look, Nancy's crying already. Nancy's crying already. Nancy's getting emotional. And it wasn't easy because I figured, what's going to happen? To make matters worse, once we get home, Karen sends me an email. Dad, and she sent a copy of the letter from a lieutenant colonel who said, change of plans. They're not going to Kuwait. They're going to Afghanistan. Counterinsurgency tacticians. In other words, kill the bad guys. Well, I said, if Karen got this letter, she needed a bucket. And lo and behold, when I talked to her, she said, Dad, I lost it. And knowing that she lost it, I lost it. Why does my daughter have to go through this? And why do my grand? And I went into a tirade. The army doesn't know what they're doing. The government doesn't know what. We already knew all that. They don't know what they're doing. Why do they change it? And why and on and on. I got myself into a tarantella with my nerves and all the rest. And then a few days later, Eddie calls and says, listen, it's only a rumor. Nobody knows anything, whether it's going to happen or not. And he said, we might not even go to Kuwait. But yet I already have everybody dead and buried. And don't we do that often? What are you screaming for? Look at this problem. What problem? Well, they said what? They said that this might happen. But we have it that it's already happened. Now, this happens, do you know why? When we lose sight of God. As simple as that. Can you see how simple this all is? Now, listen, folks. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to me first. Because if there's anyone who has lost it for no reason whatsoever, it is me. I would lose it before anything ever happened, thinking what might be and never was. Now, I know for a fact we all face problems, all of us. One kind or another, one shape or form, we all face difficulties. It's not the difficulties that do us in, it's how we face them. And the mental image we have of what we think might happen, but does not happen. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. When you go home, read chapter 14. I'll just give you a few bits of insight what was happening. All of a sudden, Pharaoh comes roaring out of Egypt, chariots, the horses, his soldiers, spears, the whole nine yards. The Israelites now are at the edge of the Red Sea. They can't go forward, can't go back. And they begin to complain, Moses, why in the world did you ever bring us here? Moses didn't bring them there. Error number one. Moses didn't bring the people of Israel to the Red Sea. God did. So what does Moses do? What every pastor does. God, what kind of congregation did you give me? You know how many times I said that about you people? I could say it now because I go home later. Look at these people. Ah. Well, hold on a minute. It was the people who said, what kind of pastor did you give us leading us over here? All right. Now we're even. Now let's go on. Why are you crying out to me? The Lord said to Moses. Tell the Israelites to move on. Move on where? You can't. We're at the edge of the Red Sea. We're at the edge. If you have just step off of Lakeshore Drive, cross the beach, and you're at Lake Michigan, where in the world are you going to move on? You know, there are times when God says to do things and you think, did he lose it or what? How in the world can you do this the same way that you do everything else? By faith. Well, you know the story. God tells Moses, raise your staff. Just do what you got to do, and I'll take care of the rest. But here's the point I want to bring out. God was going to get glory out of this situation one way or another. Many times we forget that the reason, one of the reasons God allows us into certain situations is not because you're bad and he wants to hurt you and he wants to do this to you and do that to you. Yeah, that could be at times. Many times he allows you into situations for one basic reason. So that I, the Lord, when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots. You see, God was going to allow Pharaoh and the chariots and the horsemen to pursue the Israelites who were facing the Red Sea so that when he did what he was going to do, and he always does it well, he was going to get glory out of it. That's all. So there's the answer to many times, why? 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 Because God wants just a little more glory than what we give him. Well, why does he have to get so much? Because he deserves it. So now we see, then the angel of God, did you notice the different terms here? First, when we see the pillar in front, it was the Lord. and then the fire at night. It was the Lord. Now, the angel of God who had been traveling in front of Israel's army. They didn't see an angel, but he was there. They didn't see the Lord, but they saw the cloud. He now withdraws and goes behind them. But look at this. The pillar of cloud also. What do we have here? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The triune God was there in the beginning and it was there at the end. You never walk alone through anything in your life, no matter how dark the night, how high the mountain, how deep the valley, how rough the seas, God is with you. But I don't feel it. So what? God is with you. Bible never said go by feeling, go by faith. If we go by feeling, who would ever get up in the morning to do anything in life? I don't feel, I don't feel, I don't feel, I don't feel like it. Listen, have faith in God. And you don't need feelings, although he'll make you feel good. And so now we see the angel of God, who is God himself, the pillar joins with the fire. You can't get better protection than that. Hold on a minute. Verse 23. Moses stretches out his hand. God sends this wind. And all of a sudden, little by little, meter by meter, however God did it, however, during the whole night, the waters started to part. Did you ever find yourself in a massive traffic jam and you're stomping on the brakes and the gas and the gas and the brakes and you're punching the horn until your fist is ready to go through the steering wheel? How many of you were able to get rid of the traffic jam any quicker? I was in that position yesterday as we came out of O'Hare onto whatever the highway is to get off at Nagel. All of a sudden, all the traffic in the world decided to come in front of me. And you know what happens when the lane in front of you goes slow, you switch lanes, it goes faster until you get into it, then it goes slow, and the one you just left goes faster, right? And you're getting nervous because your wife is saying, it's not that bad. It's really not that bad. You don't want to hear it's not that bad. It is bad. So what are you going to do? I'm getting agitated. I'm getting all the juices inside of me going where they shouldn't be going. And the car's not going anywhere any quicker, and nobody's moving any bit faster. Isn't it great to be part of the human race? So all that night, well, why couldn't God do it sooner? Because he didn't want to. It's as simple as that. God could have done and all the waters would have parted, but no. He kept the Israelites in one spot and the Egyptians in another, separated by what? His presence. It's all you needed. It's all you needed. God's presence builds the greatest firewall, the greatest divider, the greatest protection, and the Egyptians, with all of their strength, couldn't move one inch closer because God wouldn't let them. I love this verse 24, during the last watch of the night. Do you know what the last watch of the night is? The darkest. But the last watch of the night, while it is the darkest, is the darkest moment just before the dawn starts to rise. Do you remember another scene during the last watch of the night? Jesus from the mountaintop sees his disciples straining at the oars on the Sea of Galilee. You remember that scene? The wind was howling, the waves were lapping at the boat, the boat was teetering and tottering, the disciples were losing it. And Jesus said, okay, now it's time to go. And he approaches, it's a ghost. How many times you and I have seen a ghost and all along it was God coming to help us unravel so that we don't hang ourselves with our frayed nerves. If we would but take the energy that we used in getting frustrated and just directed to worship and praise, you wouldn't get frustrated. And you will realize the one who promised, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, has been there all along. But Pastor, you don't know how long I've been praying for this, for that, for this one or that one. Yeah, that can get tiring. I know. As I sat with my son yesterday who visited the house, Mary Ellen, my wife, and Pastor Lawrence had gone out for a moment. We were just with the girls. They were in the basement. My son and I were talking. He said something interesting. He said, when my wife got back, he said, Dad and I spoke the most we ever have in 14 years. Not because we're mad at each other. It's that when he and I get together, we got nothing to say. We just don't talk. That's just how it is. Our talking is a grunt, a burp, a groan, and that's about it. But yesterday, it really was amazing. But while he was talking, I was thinking, this boy should have been dead. This boy should have been in jail. This boy should have been maimed for life. Where God saved and brought him from. That's why I have faith for others who are in similar situations. Oh, but there were dark, long, sleepless nights. We never knew if he was alive. We never knew if he was in jail, out of jail, stoned out of his mind, bullet through his head. We never knew any of that. Were there frustrating moments? Oh, listen, there were nights where didn't have the breath to breathe or the strength to cry anymore. How long is what I wanted to say, but dared not. Because I knew underneath it all, it's in God's hands. Had God abandoned Sam? No, Sam abandoned God, but God didn't abandon Sam. How do you figure that one out? I don't know. When we dump him, does he dump us? You can't. You can't get rid of him. Because he keeps his word. I will never leave you. I will never. But when people act like that, doesn't God back off? No, he doesn't back off. He is the hound of heaven who comes at you again and again, and he reminds you. It was said of Whitney Houston, one of the greatest voices you ever did hear. I don't praise her for the crazy, insane lifestyle she lived. That's between her and God. But towards the end, it was said that one of the last songs she sang was, Yes, Jesus loves me. And according to those around her, she wanted to see Jesus. Let God be the judge on that one. Oh, how could that be? After the way she lived, singing in the choir and praising the Lord and then getting drugged up like there's no tomorrow and sex. And this was her own words. I'm into sex, drugs, alcohol, and crazy lifestyle. How could God? God had to dump her. Really? Then he's not God. Was God pleased with that? No. Did she suffer because of that? Yes. Did her family suffer? Yes. Is a daughter marked for life? Yes. But God never dumped her. That's my personal belief. Doesn't condone one thing. She left God. What happened in the end? Leave that in God's hands. Don't speculate. Don't get involved in that conversation. Let's get back to this that's important. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from heaven. No. The Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army, threw it into confusion. He was there all along. The form he took was not the form that they thought should have been, but who cares? God was there. What could we say of Moses? 40 years in the desert. Do you think he questioned God, where in the world are you? What am I reduced to? From the halls of Egypt to taking care of my father-in-law's smelly sheep. Many times we get too taken up with what's happening instead of really understanding what's going on. All Moses understood was 40 years taking care of somebody else's sheep. But God was doing something else. He was preparing a leader. Took 40 years. He was preparing a leader. When we think of Joseph in prison, wait a minute. Whoa, God, hold on. Isn't this the boy you blessed with the gift of interpreting dreams? Yeah.
And now he's in prison, falsely accused. Yeah. Doing what? Languishing in misery. Did it ever cross Joseph's mind? You gotta be kidding, God. I don't know. Human being, perhaps. Where are you? See, we could be taken up with what was happening without realizing what was really going on. God was preparing a leader who was going to sit on the very thrones of Egypt to be the salvation of his people.
Yes.
Oh, does this mean we will never go through anything? Hold on a minute. We're just getting started. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Bow down. Can I do something? My mic died.
I killed the mic. I've done a lot of crazy things in my life, and now I kill microphones. Bow down! No. We have only one God to whom we bow. Okay. Then you see that furnace? It's hotter now than it's ever been. You're going in. So? As far as we understand, God is going to save us. But listen to this. And if he doesn't, we still won't bow down. Were they doubting God? Oh, they weren't doubting anything. What they were saying is God has a plan, and if his plan that we fry, then we fry. So guess who was in there before they were thrown in? We threw in three and we count four. Well, of course, God and the three boys. But what about John the Baptist, that great forerunner of the Christ? Put in jail because of a jealous woman who wanted to live in adultery. And then we find off with his head. Where was God? He was there all along. How else did he not recant his faith but remain true to the end? Because he heard, is the man that you're saying is preaching, is he doing this? Are there mirrors? Oh, okay, then I'm right. I'm fine. Then all that I did and all that I preached is good because that's the Messiah. He was ready to go. Go home tonight and be encouraged by reading chapter 11, the book of Hebrews, and see what some people suffered. They didn't give up on their faith. God didn't give up on them. Yet some were sawn in two. Others were tortured, thrown to the animals, imprisoned, and whatnot. At no moment did they ever say, God, we don't believe in you anymore. To the very end, the Bible says, by their faith, they held on. So then does God smack me upside the head when I doubt? No. No, we've been doing that to ourselves. He doesn't have to do it. But we've got to come back to this. It's as simple as I could possibly make it. I don't know how to make it more simple. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. But why? Forget the whys. That's where the troubles begin. You remember what I spoke several Tuesday nights ago, the origin of problems? Did God really say? I shouldn't be telling you this who weren't there that Tuesday night in prayer meeting. Shame on you for not being there. I came 75 miles to be in church and you weren't here. And yet, the origin of problems is when we begin to doubt God. And we begin to doubt his word. What's left? Oh, but look at what's happening in this nation. Have you not heard me say, from the time we moved into this building and even before, the attacks on Christianity were going to get worse and worse and worse and worse? This is but the beginning. And does this mean it's all over with? You got to be kidding. Didn't you ever get a book and read the last chapter to know how it ends before you read the first one to see how it begins? Well, here, let's go to the last chapter. There's a day coming when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ. How that is all going to work out, I don't know. Read the book of Revelation. All the nations are subjected to him. He who comes from above is above all. Do you know what's going to take place shortly in the great National Mall in Washington, D.C.? The people who claim that God doesn't exist are going to gather together to have a national day of atheism. Do you know why I'm so glad about that? It's drawing attention to God. They don't even realize it, but it's drawing attention to God. Why are you gathered? We don't believe in God. Really? Then why are you here? How can you fight against something you don't believe exists? How do you fight against something you believe does not exist? What are you fighting against? They got musicians, they got comics, they got this, they got that. And it's all drawing attention to the fact they don't believe in whom you and I do believe in, God. So why doesn't God do something? You think he's not doing something? Wait till you see what he's got prepared. Oh, is he going to send a plague of locusts or extra sunshine to burn them? I don't know, and I don't want him to. I want them to get saved. I hope that some nutty evangelicals don't go out there with signs saying, "You're on your way to hell." You always get those lunatics. I'm not depending on the government for religious freedom. My religious freedom is in the Holy Spirit. Government doesn't do anything for you that's of any good. I'm depending on God. Oh, I can't wait to get the... Who says the Republicans are going to win? I think we've got 4 more years of hell coming our way. You don't like it? See me out in the parking lot. I got Gabe with me. Our hope is in the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. He's got everything in control. You may say, boy, you live a victorious life. Really? If you only knew how many times I have to say, Father, forgive me. For I just don't know what I'm doing. But one thing is becoming more and more and more and more real. In the midst of all my questionings, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. What did the psalmist say? God is an ever present help, time of trouble, ever present. Do you know what that word means? It's simple. You don't have to be a grammatical teacher or a high school teacher. It means help that doesn't have to come and then it goes. It's there, always in the present, ever present help. So why is God allowing all this nonsense to go on in our government and in our land? Oh, there are many, many reasons we might not understand in our lifetime, but I'll tell you one thing. God is in charge of it all. Trust me. Nobody is doing anything because they've got the authority and the power. The Bible teaches us he who comes from above is above all. All authority is given me, Jesus said. All. Not part, all. They're playing their little games. They're saying what they want to say. Everybody's getting tied up in a knot. And what's the devil doing? Distracting us from what we're supposed to do. What did Pastor Lawrence announce? We're having good prayer meetings. I don't want to do this, but I'm going to without full review here. How many of you do not come to prayer meeting? You do not come to prayer meeting. I should say, but I won't say, S-O-U. I didn't curse at you. Shame on you. But you're the ones who are going to, I need prayer. Well, why don't you come and pray? What are you doing home besides picking your toenails? I could have said picking your nose, but I'm a little more dignified than that. Come to the house of God and call on the name of the Lord. What this church needs is more prayer warriors. We need better times of worship and praise. We need stronger confidence. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Stand with me.